him and said, I also was a bit surprised to be invited to public art conference, but on the other hand, I really felt looking to my work under this part, it's a lot of that is inspired by my performance. And, also one project I'm just involved with is also a public art project, so I think it's an opportunity to put to that. And I was dividing some part of my presentation first an early example where I would say it was my own extended notion of public art. So there are two examples that I'm showing from this kind of their own experience by what that might mean. Then I made a selection of some works which I'm going to show you in parts. A lot of them are based somehow in the media landscape of television. I was, you know, I feel that I'm many times in the public space or this kind of groups of professionals as an atelier for my works. So I divided it to, and I was more looking now for works that have an independent life also besides me. So when you use it as an atelier, it doesn't necessarily mean that it also remains and is public in the same sense. If you do something outside in specific professions and then you later on just show it in the art world, it's the works I was putting to the side, so these are more my field works. But then I don't know, it shows up as, you know, just talking about this new project in my mind, which is actually very much in the beginning, which is kind of very classical. So I was for a long time doing music and thought this would be my profession. I would, on one point I was then trying to get into graphic design schools, and then I finally decided to become an artist. And I started as a painter. But coming from music, I felt very lonely after a while painting in art. So I also moved from the smaller town I come from, in Germany, from Göttingen. I moved to Hamburg and had the chance to move into a shop window apartment. So the work I'm showing you here is one of the first work that I did with a friend of mine. It's called Shame Box, where we invited passers by to express their personal shame in the shop window. And just kind of click through it, so you know somebody's ashamed. Oh, can you read it with that underneath? Yeah. Yeah. The people were just sitting there for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And it was somehow also not a total public space, but it was at the same time in my living room. You know, I was thinking about, I call it the shop window of the everyday life. So I used to do, you know, a lot of my houseworks in there, like ironing, or and then suddenly it was opening up more and more to engage people to do something there and to use it for the public. And also, of course, still applying at art schools, I had no kind of other representation, so I used it as my own like structure to show works. And the Spiegel in Germany, they were writing an article about it, and suddenly there came this invitation to a talk show in Bremen, where they would like to show it. So that was my first experience with the big media. And I just visited my mother last week, and I saw the old VHS tape standing there, and I thought, wow, I bring this to Denmark. So I showed it part of it. It needed some time for me to be addicted to it. Okay. Thank you.
steht da. Das ist eine dieser Schamtafeln. Mein Bruder versucht gerade ein schamhaftes Gesicht dazu zu machen. Der geht mir eigentlich auch nicht so, sondern das haben die beiden eben geschrieben, Frank und Christian. Frank und Christian sind nämlich diejenigen, die diesen Schaumkasten gemacht haben, also diese Schaufenster, was wir da eben gesehen haben. Warum schickt ihr euch denn für die Schminke, Christian?
Na, das passt nicht so oft, wenn man sich so umgestellt, wer dafür schminken muss für irgendeine Aktion und so. Und das fehlt das erste Mal und das war ein bisschen unangenehm.
Ich meine, das ist ja so, dass ich dann habe ich einen Schatz drauf, sie zu
kennen. Das war einfach der aktuellste Grund, den wir meinten, uns jetzt mal schämen zu können. Und das ist auch komisch.
Und ihr habt also in Hamburg diesen Laden mit dieser großen Schaufenstergeschichte und habt gesagt, damit muss man was machen oder wie ist das entstanden?
Ja, in der Friedensallee laufen jetzt öfter Aktionen im Schaufenster halt. Und das läuft seit zwei Tagen die Schamaktion, wo Passanten auf der Straße angesprochen werden. Dass sie sich öffentlich schämen können für einen Grund ihrer Wahl.
Und diese Tension,
wir kommen jetzt alle dort zusammen, bis 35. Und wir werden noch weitere Aktionen also.
Wenn wir schon mal so viel Tension, weil wir sagen, die Welt, dann würde ich just thinking, oh, I'm fine, we invited to go to Graham, they pay us.
Und außerdem haben wir auch ein 25 kriegen
wir können es dadurch nicht. Weil wir haben auch more or less on the way there we also brought some handcuffs, because we had the plan to be in the beginning of the show and handcuff the top master to walk with him around, but we were at the very end of the show, so it was a disappointment. But I mean the most important thing for us, or for me at least, was to suddenly stand there and you're live on television and take every word you say. I wasn't even expecting to get asked, so he asked me, so what are you doing? I said, yeah, I'm an art student. Oh no, I want to be an art student. And, you know, we already discussed the logos under it, shame box, inventor, artist, and so on, happening artist. So I think that was one thing where I felt, wow, means something to be on this kind of in the media and to face it and also to play in the role of somebody like a showmaster who is totally professional and like Erik. I mean that's how kind of how a structure is when you come as a talk show guest there, it's very clear set up. Okay, and then I did a lot of times I worked with other professions. And one of the first works I did after that was going to supermarkets with bow and arrow and shooting the things I was finding and I needed for my own consumption, you know. And then this kind of public notion, just coming back to the topic of this show, actually there was a lot of people ignored in the supermarket. Nobody realized that somebody was shooting with bow and arrows because everybody was just looking for his own product. And on the other hand, I had to deal with a lot of security people that stopped me and threw me out, and I went to the next supermarket. But, then the first time that I again did something with television was after seeing in Venice, after being invited to the Venice Biennale in 1999, and one project didn't work out, I just saw those people on television in Italy that where Italian people call on their phones at home and then they are in the studio and people, the tarot card readers, put the cards down and I have all of these answers for you. And actually I felt similar desperate about the idea and about what you do because this project people didn't have worked out. So I thought, okay, I learn Italian now, I'm going to call that and give them the five most important questions. Is it a good idea I have? Is this going to be happen? Is it going to be beautiful? How will the audience react to it? And then I might stand enriched from the whole process of doing the work. So these five questions I gave to five different fortune tellers, and that was edited together to Telemistica. But it was never be able to see on television as the whole thing was just in segments, because whenever I got this connection finally and talked to them, I recorded it. So the first work I'm going to show is another one. This is the one called The Holy Artwork, which I did in Texas, 2001. It just got maybe here. Yeah. Where I was work with different groups of audiences. That's amazing for the televangelists, because they already talk to their congregations, they talk to different audiences on television, you know, like some people are just watching the entertainment, others are really believers. I asked him, I approached him at different times before to make a special work, like the holy art work in front of television, that manifests itself in television, in the church, and also in the art galleries. This church trailer.
Consider it as holy art. Holy art. Let me tell you what holy art is. Those of you who are watching in this hall are going to be experiencing holy art in a unique way. Some of you are watching this on television. We greet you as well. It's good to have you. And some of you are watching these videos, these pieces of art, in an art gallery. It's an art setting. And the reason it's art is because it's never been seen before. You've never seen Christian fall on this stage. You've never seen this piece of holy art, and that's what makes it art. You see, art is actually a creation. Now, I come from the worldview that there's only one creator, but many people who are creating. And what Christian is doing in this piece of art is much like what a painter would do who has a paintbrush. He would take that paintbrush and he would use it from the palette and go to the canvas and paint something unique. But the attention oftentimes gets away from us, and we focus too much on the paintbrush of life, or too much on the artist of life, or too much on the canvas, and we need all three. So today, we need you in three realms. See this in a multidimensional way. This is not just a one-dimensional piece of art. You see, we are body, soul, and spirit. We need audience here. We need audience on television. We need an audience in the art gallery. And we need you at different levels to understand what we're doing today. And I think you will. You see, when Christian fell down, he basically is like a person who's dead. He's like the paintbrush, but now we transfer. He's like the video camera. He was here recording, but he's only an instrument. And as he fell, his camera is no longer being used. No, instead of just a single camera, there's another camera which you're watching. In fact, there are many people who are going to work on this project to make it happen. Art is not just for a single person. Art is actually an event which occurs because of many people. You see, there'd be no artist if there wasn't a canvas and paintbrush. But there'd be no purpose of the canvas and paintbrush if there weren't people to watch and look at the art. So what you're understanding is that a piece of art is only art if there are people to see it. It can only become a piece of art if there's an artist who has yielded to inspiration.
I have to forward it again from time. I want to show you more. I just showed you the very end of it, you know, kind of idea. I mean, basically, I follow the same structure they are using, and I also use the tool they use for organized religion. So you can have prayers, requests. That means you give, like, on the paper, you write some praise down the congregation should pray for. So I was asking myself, if I'm about to do a holy artwork, what are the highest goals of art and of holy artwork? So I gave him this praise, and he made his own praise of this in the end of the video, which I'm not now going to show you. Of course, in the middle of such a ceremony, there's always some singing with the whole congregation, you know, comes together and they're all active. Was after that the work was totally by himself. He the pastor edited this me in the studio, in his private home. In the cellar he had a studio, and we were editing and then he broadcasted a couple of times on his channel, and he also produced the making of, and he made this introduction when he first time showed it on television, where he was playing piano and said, you know, some people like boogie and he played some boogie, some people like classical music, classical music. And it's so nice about art, you know, and all of these different things, and there are painters, sculptors, and there are video artists, and recently look what happened. So. You want to hear it?
This is a medium that we can use to communicate. Thank you for the knowledge and the wisdom and all of the people who collaborated together to make this miracle happen. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to make this holy artwork. And for those who caught Christian's vision, because it takes more than just the artist's mind. It takes those who believe in the art. Father, we want to say thank you for letting this artwork reflect even the materials which you have created that can be put together and show the inner possibilities while pointing beyond them. Father, we want to thank you that there's even purpose in this holy artwork. And that purpose was to reach into the hearts of those watching one-dimensionally and let them know that there are many dimensions to the body, soul, and spirit so that it would reach beyond this moment in time. In fact, let this art, this holy art, last beyond even our lives. Whether it be a century or 10 centuries, may this artwork last and continue to teach the message. May it even expand our definition of art. And let this artwork, Father God, we pray, question and challenge the art world and bring it to a level of a spiritual dimension. Father, we want this holy artwork to make people in the church understand the value of contemporary art. And we pray that this artwork, this holy artwork, be a bridge between art, religion, and television. May we experience the dimension of your glory, your power, your spirit, and your will in our lives. We pray these things of power, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Christian,
thank you. Thank you very much. Then I'm going to show you like part of the talk show I was in, another talk show again, 10 years later in Athens. And I was inviting some people into the thing that was on the first channel in Greece, that was all over the nation, starting at 8 hours in the night and going for 1 hour, and was about, yeah, of course, art, and about declaring this talk show for an artwork. And it's still loading. So one is a businessman, another is a politician. Another is the curator of the show, Outlook. That's why I was here. That was also the entrance to the media that I could be in this talk show. It was only because it was a big media hype about a big contemporary art show in Athens. And I just started somewhere in the middle of that, where one journalist is, you know, from the main newspaper that he makes some comments.
Well,
then it's a news. Just as
your media is the creator.
Και να πει ότι ήταν μια καλή εκπομπή, είχε ανεκδότη κατηλίωση, λοιπόν. μιλούσε ενώπιον με την σύνθεση στην κατάληψη που θα καταλαβαίνουμε.
Μάλιστα. Κύριε Γιαννάκο, μπορούμε να εξηγήσουμε αυτά τα θέματα γιατί είναι τόσο σημαντικά. Εσείς γράφετε στο Βήμα και από όσο διαβάζω και αυτά που γράφετε, δεν είναι καθόλου διανομή αυτά που γράφετε. Τα καταλαβαίνει ο απλός αναγνώστης, ο απλός πολίτης.
Μιλώντας, ας πούμε, για το έργο που κάνει ο Χριστιαν τώρα, κάτι θα μπορούσαμε να πούμε, το οποίο ίσως λίγο φωτίζει γιατί επέλεξε να το κάνει με αυτόν τον τρόπο. Είναι το εξής. Όταν κάποιος στείλει μια εκπομπή τηλεόρασης, ο βασικός του στόχος είναι ένα κοινό, απευθύνεται σε κάποιον. Και έχει μεγάλη σημασία, όπως γνωρίζετε πιθανώς, το να πιστέψει ότι υπάρχει ένα κοινό για αυτή την εκπομπή. Όταν της καλλιτέχνης δημιουργεί ένα έργο τέχνης, το δημιουργεί βασικά επειδή θέλει να το δημιουργήσει. Ασφαλώς εύχεται να πάει καλά και να είναι επιτυχές του κ.ο.κ. Θα το δημιουργούσε όμως έστω και να μην το βλέπει κανένας, γιατί αφορά την προσωπική του ανάγκη.
Ναι.
Εδώ λοιπόν έχουμε δύο καταστάσεις οι οποίες κατά κάποιο τρόπο διαπλέκονται, αλλά είναι και αρκετά διαφορετικές. Ως εργοτέχνης, αυτό το εργοτέχνης αφορά το προσωπικό όνομα του Χρήστια. Ως εκπομπή τηλεόρασης αφορά τους χιλιάδες ανθρώπους που κάθονται και δουλεύουν και προσπαθούν να καταλάβουν κάτι από αυτή. Αυτό έχουμε ένα πλαίσιο μεταξύ πραγματικής ζωής και τέχνης, το οποίο είναι από τους παρόντες στη σύγχρονη τέχνη.
Σκεφτόμουν τώρα που μιλούσατε μια φράση του Μαλερό, μια που η παρουσία μου σε αυτή την τόσο ενδιαφέρουσα συζήτηση έχει να κάνει με την, με την πολιτική. Και επειδή ο Μαλερό ήταν ένας πολύ μεγάλος καλλιτέχνης που είχε μια τεράστια προσφορά στην πολιτική ζωή του τόπου του, συμμετέχοντας σε κυβερνήσεις του Ντεγκόλ ως υπουργός πολιτισμού, είχα διαβάσει και είχα πραγματικά εντυπωσιαστεί από μια ρίση του που έλεγε ότι ο λόγος που θα πρέπει κανείς να χρησιμοποιεί τα διάφορα μέσα της τέχνης και να έρχεται σε επαφή μαζί τους όσο περισσότερο γίνεται, δεν είναι για να κάνει τη ζωή τέχνη, αλλά για να κάνει τη ζωή περισσότερο ζωή. Και νομίζω ότι δεν υπάρχει τίποτα πιο σημαντικό από την επαφή ενός ανθρώπου με την τέχνη σε οποιαδήποτε μορφή είναι αυτή, είτε είναι μια μεγάλη τεχνική έκθεση, είτε είναι μια σπουδαία κινηματογραφική ταινία, είτε μια θεατρική παράσταση, είτε μια όπερα, από το ότι αισθάνεται ότι ζει περισσότερο ή ότι ζει πραγματικά.
was together with Pioneer Media. This is the biggest company for karaoke career. They export all over the world, and I offered them to produce the new videos. They can play as backdrops for their video, for their songs in their machines. So there's a content director who's responsible to write the story for the constables. The only thing I said that they have to put me into their stories. So now he had to deal with this kind of Westerner inside of this Korean culture, and I mean it's just something to assume that from the four stories we made, three end very bad. This is the only funny one, and somehow it's this culture clash, but in the perspective of them, it's staying now in Asia and Korea. Independent life, museums. And keep playing in museums. but they use it just, a good material for them. And I like that it's somehow like this recycling of the material. And then in the installation of museums, you can play 2 songs a year, 5% of all songs. 25% of all pop songs are about love and this everlasting, lasting problem. Okay, then I just thought that we can. Let's go. The one work I now work on, and I saw this living sculpture, these people that made pictures, metal sculptures there on the street. So I made a lot of interviews with them. They would be sculptures. So normally I have no chance to interview a public sculptor. And then I'm working now with welding people here that we're going to make at least one maybe and put them back on the same place where the people stand and always try to be metal sculptures, and then they're going to be reinstalled in there. And I think also the kind of talking to the authorities, to the city, of actually just replacing on the same space where somebody stands anyhow already since 6 years people are standing. I'm wondering how it will be when we start really putting metal sculptures in that place and how the city reacts to that. Because they give them the permit to stand there, but it's not totally official, but it's, they make it to attract tourists. So it looks, it's pretty good. I think Roman M. said they can do iconographic things. He's a thinker. He doesn't say which thinker, he's just representing a thinker. That's okay. I'm done.